broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't because they haven't got the ability, the talent. It's just, it's all messed up. But
probably making money.
They're probably making money, yeah. And welcome. This is our news and information hour with Bud Dickman. Say hello, Bud.
Hello, buddy. And by the way, I just want to say I didn't mean to butt in on a Doug Danger.
No, you were asking Danger some good questions. What, Robert?
Are you trying to tell me what that guy... You thought those are good questions?
Yeah, I was asking about sex.
You asking a man about gay sex going, we're not supposed to do it in the butt and all that.
Will you come on, guys? We're on the air right now.
Yeah, but you hit a dumbass?
You wasn't dumbass, otherwise Mr. Henry, tell me shut up.
I'll tell you why we did that, Robert, because we were expecting to have R.C. Collins call in, and he didn't. So Bud took his place. Speaking of that, R.C. Collins is due to call in this hour, I think, right?
Yeah, he's going to call in, and he's going to call in about it.
About what? About gay sex?
No.
Well, then what do you mean about it? What's he going to call in about?
He's going to call in about how gay
you are?
Shut up, man.
Let him finish. What?
How gay Civil War reenactment is.
How gay Civil War reenactment is.
Man, you're going to get some people pissed off at you for that.
I ain't going to do it.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. So that'll be RC in just a few minutes. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Go over, get a backstage pass, get access to our live streaming video every night, as well as our podcasts each and every day. You can listen to the Phil Hendry Show on your iPod. You can sign up for the podcast. Goes right into your iPod. You're set to go. You're good to go. You're all that. Then, of course, we have our archives, as well as our rants and our webisodes. And if you'd like to take a look, by the way, at what our actual Phil TV video casts look like, head on over to YouTube. Take a look at one called, what's the one you just put it, Bud?
Yeah, put up the one called How to Stop a Predator.
How to stop a predator? Yeah, check that one out. That's the Real Bud Dickman channel on YouTube. Now this is right close to home, man, because we are here at the El Pacifico, and just down the road from us is the city, the beautiful city here in Ventura County of Oxnard, California.
Yeah, you know they don't spell with an S.
What?
How do you know they don't spell with an S?
And AXNARDS. Isn't that funny? Shut up. Dozens of Oxnard 8th graders were allowed to walk in their graduation ceremony Wednesday despite not meeting minimum academic standards. Since 2008, the Oxnard School District has had standards that students must meet to participate in the ceremony. However, Interim Superintendent Julian Lopez.
The J is pronounced with a who.
Yeah. Like, if it's a J, it's like Hacklin.
Hacklin?
Yeah, Hacklin Kennedy.
Hacklin Kennedy, huh? What an idiot.
Hey, Hacklin Kennedy, man. Only in some instances.
Why did you guys just let me read this, okay? Hacklin Kennedy.
That's what it is.
No, it ain't, man. First of all, Jacqueline ain't Spanish. It's French or something. I don't know what it is. Hacklin.
What if they say La Jolla?
Yeah, in a Spanish name, J sounds like huh. What do you think, it's Hack Kennedy too?
Well, he did.
In any event, since 2008, the Oxnard School District has had standards that students must meet to participate in the ceremony. However, the interim superintendent, Julian Lopez, last week directed schools to let some of the students who didn't qualify walk with their classmates. His decision shocked teachers who say they worked hard to uphold the standards. The goal of every teacher is to make sure that every student walks, said teacher union president Robin Lefkowitz. But if you... I know Robin Lefkowitz. I'm pretty sure I know her. I think Maria might know her. Anyway, if you choose not to study and not do your work, there are consequences, or there should be consequences. Students are told for 2 years their graduation ceremony is an honor they have to earn. Under the policy adopted by the board, students have to earn 75 credits in 7th and 8th grade to participate. Teacher said a student can do so even if they fail three classes a year and get D's in the rest. Students also get several opportunities to make up credits. And still they got some dumbasses that don't graduate? You know, I really shouldn't say that, though, because...
No, you're right, man.
Well, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. You know, it's easy for me to say, but, you know, as I get older, I just want to ask this question, all right?
You're getting soft, man. The older you get, the more soft you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. A kid comes from a home where the father's a drunk and the mother's a whore and there's violence in the house and the little guy, these kids come from some real circumstances, man. How the hell is a kid like that going to get any work done? That's number one, okay? And then you have all the other homes where there may not be a father, there may not be a mother. There's nobody there, even though they have good intentions. They're working, so there's no one there to hold the kids' feet to the fire to have them do homework. What the hell is going on in the American home? That's the big question of the 21st century. I'm telling you that right now.
You're going to have a lot of people getting pissed off, sticking your nose in their business.
Let me tell you what, man. It's increasingly becoming my business. I got no choice. I keep getting this stuff dumped in my lap. Hi, I'm Mr. America. You know?
No, you ain't.
I'm not the superhero, smartass, okay? I'm Mr. and, you know, Mr. and Mrs. America.
You Mrs. America?
I'm going to kick you guys out in 5 seconds, all right? And I'm here, and I'm doing my thing, and increasingly, you know, someone's tapping me on the shoulder. You know, I know you're doing your thing, and I know you're paying your tax. I know you're keeping, you know, your head above water, but we've got a problem, and here's the problem. There are families and people. You know, people don't like what Hillary Clinton says, it takes a village. I know they were upset with, they didn't like that comment because it sounded all hippie and liberal and commie, right? And, you know, and it probably didn't quite, she probably didn't use the right circumstance. But let me ask you a question and tell me if I'm crazy. Sooner or later, whether you like it or not, it's taking a village, isn't it? Because what happens? These kids... they ain't getting an education. Fine. Great. They get their ass kicked out into the street after continuation. They're stupid as the day is long. They got no skill. Where are they going next? Well, you got it right. And then you think you're going to... then you think it takes a village? It takes a village of cops is what it takes.
That's true.
Takes a village. Well, you may not like the term takes a... it takes a freaking village of gendarme, baby. Prisons, cops, jails. And it all starts back in the great old American home. So I'll tell you this right now. I don't want it to go there. I don't want to have anything to do with anybody's house. I don't want to see. I don't want to look. I don't want to hear. I don't give a damn. But if you're telling me every time I turn around now that I got another problem I got to solve that's outside the confines of my home because there's a kid that's not getting enough education. There's another kid over here ain't getting enough to eat. There's another kid over here getting his brains beat in. There's another kid's getting raped. There's another this, that, and something else. The great lost frontier of the 21st century, the great beyond, going where no man has gone before, right into the homes of Americans who aren't getting the job done.
Yeah, but he's right, man. People are going to say that's against the Constitution and everything.
Well, you know, but it depends, man. Cops have a right. I don't know what the answer is. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the answer is.
You got to go in there, the Constitution of the United States.
I know about the Constitution, man. Do you remember those freaks that lived down in Texas? What was the name of those guys?
Yeah, they had a bun on their head.
What do you mean they had a bun on their head?
You talking about the religious?
Yeah, it was a religious group. Yeah, the ladies had the bun on their head. They had a bun on their head. Anyway, the cops went into that. That was one of those, I think it was an L, what did they call it?
SD.
No, not SD. What? Not the Davidians. No, it's the free, not the Branch Davidians. No, it was the guys that Warren Jeff's ass, isn't he an offshoot of the Mormons? And they had some concerns. They had concerns that this guy was having sex with underage women. Now, you can have any religion you want. You can worship a cat god. You can talk to mushrooms. You can eat mushrooms and then talk to more mushrooms. You can do anything you want. That's America. You can't have sex with children. No, 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 no. That doesn't happen. And I don't give a damn what religion you got. I don't care if your god has six heads. I don't care if it's the Christian god. I don't care if you do it under the guise of being a Christian. You don't get to do that. And that's when cops go rolling through the gates. And I endorse that 150%.
Everybody does, man. Nobody, no one arguing that.
I mean, that's something that Democrats and Republicans ought to agree on. That ought to be one area that we ought to agree on, and not this bull crap. Now, what happens when it isn't quite so cut and dried, but what's going on in that house is producing some kid that isn't bright enough to get an eighth grade education. He finally hits the streets. He's done for, man. He hasn't got the brains to blow his own nose. He gets out there. He falls in with just the right company to make an easy dollar, and he's off on a life of crime. Sooner or later, it's going to be my problem and your problem, too, whether you like it or not. Is that when you want to handle it? That's when you want to handle it, huh? When we're hearing the sirens at night? When, you know, when there's cops, you know, in a gunfight with somebody? I don't know. Maybe I guess that's what people like.
That's what a conservative doesn't want to do it.
I don't know that that's what conservatives want to do, man. I don't know that's what... I think conservatives are as interested in education as liberals. It's the kind of education. But with this kind of thing going on, eighth grade kids, they can't graduate, and we're still arguing about whether it's a voucher, whether it's a this or that. Let me ask you a question. If a house is burning to the ground, are you going to argue about what kind of water pressure you want to use? Are you going to argue about whether the water should come from that fire hydrant there or should it come from that fire hydrant over there because that one has better water pressure?
Well, man, I don't think that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. We got a house burning down and we got people in Washington and elsewhere at the state capitol level arguing about what color truck should the fire department have. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, it's not the same as a house burning down.
Oh, it's not, huh? Well, you know what? If I believe, and it doesn't matter who I'm talking to, I could talk to a liberal or a conservative. If I talk to a liberal or a conservative, I hear the same thing from each side. The country's going to hell in a handcart. That's the one thing they agree on. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. Liberal, conservative, they agree on that. Okay, great. So if that's the case, the country is burning down to the ground, and you guys are standing around thumbing it, and wondering, well, I don't know, man, should we have a bucket brigade or should we spit on it? What do you think we ought to do?
Well, I don't know, man. It just seems like you're being dumb.
Oh, get out of here.
I agree with Bud, man. You don't understand the what do you call it, the intricacies and everything?
The intricacies?
Yeah.
By the way, to the guy that's got that Belvin Perry Twitter account, up yours, man. I thought it was funny, but I realize now you're just a run-of-the-mill, redneck, dumbass racist on Twitter. So you and your mom, man. I'll take turns on both of you. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do we got coming up here, Jace, in our next segment? Oh, R.C. Collins is going to be with us, giving us his take on the Civil War reenactments, plus a brawl erupted outside the Casey Anthony trial. And check us out on Twitter as well, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. At Bradley is R.C. Collins. He's a junior cadet there. And we've had him on our show infrequently, but frequently enough anyway to talk about education at that level and in that kind of an institution, in that kind of a school, R.C., a military academy. And I don't know that a lot of people have the inside scoop on that. I know a lot of parents send their kids to military academies. Bradley is in Altadena?
That's correct, sir. Bradley Military Academy is 73 years of age and has catered to the college preparatory education of literally hundreds of thousands of young men. It is primarily... a boys' military academy, those of us who graduate with the higher honors are put into consideration for the West Point, the Army College at West Point, as well as the private universities like the Citadel or Virginia Military Institute. But my personal goal is West Point.
And what parts of the country do the students come from?
Well, Bradley has a lot of kids from the West Coast. I'm from California. There's a lot of people from the West Coast, like Nevada or Arizona, the Western states. But we do have students. We have a few students from, like, down south, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. And I think we got a couple of there's one student in my class is from Maryland, and we have a several in the upper class from New York State.
Now, this is the summer months, and I imagine you guys will be leaving there soon and heading back home. What do you guys do for the summer months when you're not there at the academy?
Well, I'm going to probably go back to, I live with my father in Northern California, in Palo Alto, and so that's where I'll probably go. I just got invited by... I was invited by two of my classmates to attend a Civil War reenactment in Virginia.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
Well, I thought it would be, but I was told that I was not. They uninvited me.
And why did they do that?
Well, I'm not really sure. I don't know whether it's because I don't have a lot of experience doing it or because I wasn't there last year. Or I don't have enough time. They didn't really give me a good reason. They just were very upset.
What, I don't understand. They're upset. So these are classmates of yours?
Yes, sir.
And they're from Virginia?
No, they're both from North Carolina, but they do a Civil War reenactment in Virginia in July, which is coming up for the Gettysburg, of the Battle of the Gettysburg.
Oh, okay. So these are classmates of yours, and that's a big reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg, which was between what?
Well, it was July 1st through, I think, July 3rd or 4th. And, it falls right on the anniversary of America. And I had said that they were asking if anybody wanted to be in it. That's why I was very curious about it.
Well, because I'm not really understanding. They asked you if you wanted to be in the Civil War reenactment.
Yes, sir.
And you said yes.
Yes, sir.
How did you get uninvited?
Well, I mean, I told them that I didn't want to be a Southern soldier. I said I want to be an American soldier because, I'm in Bradley Military Academy, which eventually I want to go to West Point. That's the United States Army, so I was going to be in the Union Army, you know?
Well, you didn't disparage the Southern forces, did you?
No, sir. I just said I didn't want to be a Southern soldier, and I said that I wanted to be, and they said, well, it... You know, you don't really get to choose. You gotta do what they tell you. And I said, there's no way. I said because my instinct as an American soldier would be against the enemy or like the South. Even though I know the South is America, but my instinct would be if I saw like Robert E. Lee, who I know is a great man and is respected by everybody, but. If I saw Robert E. Lee, I'd probably want to gut him.
And you'd want to do what?
Gut him. It's a military term.
No, I know what it is. You'd want to gut Robert E. Lee.
Well, yes, sir. That's God.
Well, this is why they uninvited you, man. I think they were offended.
Well, get used to it. You lost the war, man. I mean, I don't know what.
Oh, okay. These are two Southern students. They're American students.
Yeah. That's what I told him. I said, "You come from the America. What are you being all South and all rebel and everything?" And they're all, you know. And
well, what did they say?
He said, "We are American. We're just doing a reenactment, and you offended the Confederate way."
You offended the Confederate way.
Yeah. And I said, "Why?" Because I said I cleaned my bayonet off with Robert E. Lee's guts, I would today, and I would yesterday, and I'd do it again today.
Well, what you did was you offended and insulted your classmates by saying that, because the name Robert E. Lee is respected in the South. Did you really say you'd clean your bayonet off with his guts?
Well, yeah, because I'd be an American. I'd be an American.
Well, Confederate guys were Americans, too. It was a horrible war, a tragic time, and it was a time that we've learned a lot from, and for you to say that you would, you know...
I said I'd clean my bayonet off with his guts, and you got it. Put his head on a stick. Whip the hat on it. And his horses, too. And then I said I was kidding.
You're an idiot. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And the horses, too. Phil Henry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. You head to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get our brand new official Phil Henry Show t-shirt. You must have that for the summer months. Our big logo on the back. It's perfect for going out and riding on the weekends. You can cut off the sleeves. I mean, it looks exactly like your own personal patch, the Phil Henry Show club patch, or whatever you want to make it. It's the Phil Henry Show t-shirt. It's over there at philhenryshow.com in our merchandise shop. Head over there and check out our t-shirt and our coffee mug and our shot glass and all of our CDs. What, bud?
Well, you're not the best-looking guy in the world.
I didn't say I was the best-looking guy in the world, did I? I didn't say that at all. I just said that these two people were really ugly.
Now, they're talking, she didn't have no teeth and a mullet?
I was telling them about a couple of people that I saw. We were talking about the Casey Anthony trial, which I'm going to tell you about. And last time I was in Orlando was with the family. We were taking the kids on a Disney cruise. And let me tell you, that ain't cheap.
Boy, I'll say, you must be rich.
Boy, man, can you say that any more stupid?
You must be rich.
Well,
yeah, you know, at the time I was. Anyway, we went and we had breakfast. And, you're going to have breakfast and then you go and you get on the boat and you go, you know, do the thing. So I saw a woman sitting there. She had a mullet, no teeth, a big nose, and a big ass. So that's all I said to these guys, and they start telling me I'm not the best-looking guy in the world.
No, I agree. That's ugly.
Oh, yeah, it was scary. And the boyfriend had a mullet. See, the whole thing with mullets, and the reason why I think the mullet is such a funny thing, is people do wear them, and the people that wear mullets are unaware of the fact that it's kind of a joke now. It's America's big running inside joke. And it's an amazing thing that there are there's a segment of Americans that get it, and there's a segment of Americans that don't. Now, far be it from me, a bald guy, to make fun of a cat's mullet, but I will tell you this much. I had no choice. See? A guy with a mullet, he dies! All right, Casey Anthony trial, surprise witness embarrasses defense, brawl erupts outside courtroom, look out! This trial is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not following this Casey Anthony trial, you don't know what's going on, man. You have no idea the depth of evil in this world. And you think it's just a murder trial. Take a look at this Casey Anthony. You're looking at the purest kind of psychopath you could possibly imagine.
Man, she's a frightened man. I was looking at her the way you said the other day, like she's a robot.
She's just like a robot. If you look at her face... And that's what I was trying to. That was what I was trying to hit on. She's like an alien. When you look at Casey Anthony's face, look at the blank expression. Now, I know she cries occasionally. She cries when she recognizes what a big problem she's created for herself. When her mother started crying, she was crying. When they talked about the baby in some instances, she was crying. Not because she lost this baby. Not because she lost... Not because of what's happened to her family. She's bawling because she knows she's dead meat. She's spending the rest of her life out of control of her life. Somebody else will have control of her life. It's called the state of Florida. If she lives, if she's granted life in prison, for the rest of her life, she'll be told when to get up, when to go to bed, how to do it, right now she's holding it together. But when you look at this woman, this Casey Anthony, you are looking at the closest thing to a robot that a human can be. Look at the face. Look at how her eyes go back and forth between the defense and the prosecution. The defense, then when someone sits down, she turns and she looks at them. It's almost as if she landed on Earth about 3 days ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, it's like she's an alien from another planet looking at Earth.
Like Starman. Remember Starman?
Yeah.
She's like, wow, look at this and look at that and look at this and oh, hi. And there's no feeling, no emotion, no nothing. How do I know? How could I possibly prove that to you? This woman murdered her daughter. And 30 days later, and I was just looking at this in the archives. The interrogation is on tape. The Orange County Sheriff detectives that interrogated her, it's all on tape. And brother, these three cops are saying to her, you're a liar. We know you're a liar.
Yeah, they said you're lying. So make the lie stop right now. And she goes, no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah. And in other words, she was caught in this loop that wasn't working. She didn't recognize how it wasn't working, but it wasn't working. And yet she was not going to end the loop. She was not going to turn the tape off. She was going to keep on saying, I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know. Even though these three cops are looking at her and they're saying, no, 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 Ms. Anthony, please understand. We know you're lying. You're lying. We know it. There's no question at all. Now, this guy Melich, this Yuri Melich, who was one of these cops, he said, you know, she was so good that I didn't know what I had. There was a moment there where I thought, well, you know, let's go see what she's talking about. He says, I couldn't believe that anybody could be that full of crap, that full of horse dung, and still just keep pitching it, you know? In other words, it's like, when I was a kid, my brother and I, we didn't want to walk to the bathroom because it was so cold at night, because the bathroom was the other side of the house. So we used to pee through the window.
What?
We did. We did.
You did what, man?
I know it's probably off point. We did. My brother and I, it was so cold to get out of bed and go to the other end of the house where the bathroom was, because we had two bathrooms and they were all at one end of the house. My brother and I, our bedroom was at the other end. So we'd pee out the window and it killed.
You killed your dad's plant?
I killed my dad's plant. Yeah, that story. And my poor father, he would say to my mom, what the hell is going on? This plant won't grow, you know? Well, it's like the same thing. You got this story, and you keep throwing pee on it, man. It ain't going to grow.
Man, you ran a long way for that one.
Well, at least I got in the pee story. So that's what this kid, this Casey Anthony, does. She just keeps pitching the same line of horse dung, and she doesn't understand. She's got these three detectives who are going, no, no, you know, lady, we don't know what it is you're trying to prove here, but we don't buy it. They even went so far as to say to her, You know where she is right now. You know that they said, you know that girl is not in very good shape, meaning the daughter. You know that baby's not in very good shape. She's not the way your family remembers her. And finally, that one cop said, she's in a dumpster. She's buried. I mean, this is how good cops get when there's just, you know, there's a certain pattern to things. And sometimes a cop can read it about 5 miles away. You know, it, not everything is a big damn secret. Not everything is the great bank heist. Not everything is Deep Throat. Some stuff you can read with Braille. And this is one of those cases where these three cops, long before you and I ever said, wow, she murdered the kid. These cops are sitting there at Universal saying, you know where that girl is, you know where that daughter of yours is, and she's probably decomposing right now. That's what the cops said. And by God, he was right. And this Anthony, no, I swear to God, no, I swear, I would never do anything. Every line of horse crap you ever heard in your life, it's just, it's amazing. All right, so today's trial. So now I got you. And by the way, Judge Belvin Perry is the greatest. He's I don't know, there's something about the guy that's really funny too. Great prosecuting attorneys. Jose Baez he's doing his best. He's trying his hardest. I don't know. It's a very interesting trial. I'll tell you one thing. It's far better run than that O.J. Simpson, that asinine trial with Simpson, and that Ito jackass.
I glance, you know, that guy's an idiot.
All right, so Casey Anthony trial, surprise witness embarrasses defense, brawl erupts outside. Casey Anthony's surprise witness became an embarrassment for the defense today when the witness held a news conference outside of the courthouse where she is being tried for murder and said that he did not know the Anthony family. Casey Anthony, this was a witness called by Casey Anthony, a surprise witness, embarrassed the defense when the witness held a news conference outside of the courthouse where Casey Anthony's being tried for murder and said he didn't know the Anthony family. How about that? Defense attorney Jose Baez included Vasco Thompson, a convicted kidnapper, as a last-minute surprise addition to his amended witness list earlier this week. Baez claimed that Thompson and Casey Anthony's father, George Anthony, shared a series of phone conversations the day before 2-year-old Kaylee Anthony's disappearance was reported to authorities. So you know that Baez is trying to paint old man Anthony as the killer. George Anthony angrily issued a statement through his attorney earlier this week denying Baez's claims. Today, Vasco Thompson stood outside the Orange County Courthouse and also denied that he'd ever met George Anthony. This is what we're talking about, folks. This is a desperate, desperate bunch of people here. I have no idea who George Anthony is, Thompson said. The phone number they got, I didn't have that number until February of 2009. I don't know why they dragged me into all this mess. Baez never said what Thompson's connection to the case may have been, but he has accused George Anthony of helping to dispose of Kaylee's body after she accidentally drowned in the family pool. It is unlikely that Baez will now call Thompson to the witness stand. No kidding. But most of the drama around the Casey Anthony trial happened outside the courthouse today. Hours before Thompson spoke, a brawl erupted among people who'd lined up all night for a coveted seat to the murder trial. The violence prompted the Orange County Courthouse to change their rules today for those seeking admission to the trial. Here is the sound of that brawl breaking out as two men try to cut in line. Bad move, man, to get tickets. Now, I don't know what happened, but if you want to see a picture of it, it's on the homepage, on our homepage, and these guys are getting clobbered by these women. And I shouldn't laugh, but there's one woman, I mean, you can see it. It's a straight right hand, and she connects, and this guy is, like, falling over. I don't know what these guys thought. I don't know what they were doing. They thought maybe they could cut in line because it was a bunch of chicks. No can do, brother. Anyway, most of the, so we told you about that. Since the trial began, those hoping to get a glimpse of Anthony's legal drama have lined up during the night for one of the 58 seats reserved for members of the public. Casey Anthony is accused of murdering her daughter. You know the story. She's pled not guilty. The overnight brawl wasn't the first time those seeking admission have gotten into a scuffle. Other skirmishes have occurred over the last few weeks, but none got this violent. On Thursday night, people began lining up as early as 8:30 for a chance to attend today's hearing. When the crowd was moving to a location closer to the courthouse entrance around 5 a.m., fists began to fly. Jessie Doris, age 27, told ABC affiliate WFTV she was shocked when the men just, quote, cut in front of me. The two men trying to cut to the front of the line began throwing punches, and one lady is seen on camera punching another man to free her friend from a headlock. The fight was caught on video. After this morning's punch-up, the rules for gaining access to the trial now require people to line up at 8 a.m., these guys are punching women? Who are these two scumbags?
There's no name there, the guys.
Well, they should have... this is what makes me wonder whether the thing happened the way they say it happened, because if it did, then by God, there'd be a name, wouldn't there? Don't you think these women would have gone to the cops and said, that guy there and that guy there punched my friend, we had to punch them back. Here I have this. Here's a few of his teeth I'm keeping as a memento. I don't know. All right, we'll be coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, so that was all the excitement there in Orlando today. Searching for good prices on airfare, we'll see some tips on the best times to find deals coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry show tomorrow night. We are on the air, when I say tomorrow night, tonight on the air on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. You can watch the video cast here at Phil TV in HD, philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now we're going to tell you, and this is going to be something that I am going to take advantage of. Where is it, bud?
It's looking out. I'll find it. Here it is right here. searching for airfares. That's pretty good.
Thank you very much, bud. You ought to do a Clark Howard kind of thing, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That'd be great.
Me?
Yeah. You know, we could do great airfare. You know, Clark Howard. You know, I used to work with Clark in Atlanta. Very popular, very good, nice man. And he, the biggest thing that he did was airfares for the week on Friday. And you could do that for us.
Yeah, I'm Bud Dickman. Here's an airfare on a JetBlue.
Perfect.
You kidding?
I wouldn't do it. That sounds retarded.
All right, watch that retarded word, okay? Searching for airfares doesn't have to be a gamble. Searching for airfares often seems to be a game passengers are set to lose. Price change from day to day, even minute to minute. Scouring multiple websites for the best deal can be overwhelming. After you book, there's no guarantee you get the best price. You just don't know when to pull the trigger. It's not the bullying anything else. It's not like buying... What did I say, bullying? It's not like buying anything else I can think of, said George Hobica, who's the founder of AirWatch, AirWatchdog.com. Harriet Levy paid $179 for a recent round-trip flight on American Airlines between New York and Fort Lauderdale. Sitting just one row behind her, Shirley Harrison, $215. A few rows back, Ellis and Diane Traub, $317. There were at least 12 fares on the flight, ranging from $169 to $360. There's no rhyme or reason to it, said Harrison. Fares can fluctuate significantly in just a few hours. One Delta flight from New York to Los Angeles jumped from $755 to $1,143 from a Friday to a Saturday in late April, then fell to $718 on a Sunday. The flight was one of a dozen the Associated Press tracked over 3 months for a July 16th to 22nd vacation. The number one finding, avoid booking tickets on weekends. It's the most expensive time to buy.
Yeah, you're going to buy a ticket today.
That's right. That's right. There's no way to guarantee the best fare, but before booking, travelers should heed this additional advice. Go ahead, bud.
You want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Book on Tuesday, Wednesday. Great. Page two.
Right here. Get it out of my face, man. God.
Book on here. Book on Tuesday.
I'll do it. God.
What's the matter, man?
Well, I gotta get it in the right order.
Get it in the right order. You're shoving it up my nose. Book on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's when airlines most often offer sales. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now, I'm leaving for Canada on Saturday, a week from today. And I book on Tuesday? Yeah, right.
Oh, man, you ain't even gonna find a flight, man. Face it.
Buy in advance, but not too early. The best time is 4 to 6 weeks before traveling. Oh, God. Who the hell? I don't know, man. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't plan vacations 4 to 6 weeks out. I just don't. I don't know when I'm going to take time off. I don't go anywhere all that elaborate. I mean, the last place that I went that was really big, 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 big was, where the hell did we go, man? Fiji? Was that it?
Yeah, probably.
That was a long time ago, man. And that, yeah, I planned that a few months out. Fiji. I ain't planning a few months out if I'm going to San Diego or something. Anyway, book on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's when airlines often, most often offer sales. Buy in advance, but not too early. 4 to 6 weeks before traveling. In general, prices for any given flight are highest 8 to 10 weeks and 2 to 3 weeks in advance. All right, what about 6 days? All right, embrace social media. Not only am I embracing social media, I got my legs wrapped around it. It ain't helping me. What was the one we did see?
You have that JetBlue.
Well, that was on Facebook. All right, I'll check it out. Anyway, airlines are giving more benefits, like exclusive sales to travelers who interact with them on Twitter and Facebook. Those specials are often gone within hours. The so-called discount airlines, JetBlue, AirTran, Southwest, and Frontier, adjust their fares less frequently than other airlines, so you can feel more confident locking in a price. But their prices aren't always the lowest. Researching multiple airline fares is the only way to get a good deal. It wasn't always this complicated. Before the airlines were deregulated in 1978, airfares were approved by the government. Prices were consistent and printed in timetables. But it wasn't always this cheap either. The average round-trip ticket in 1978 cost almost $600 in today's dollars, compared with $316 today. Because air travel was something of a luxury, planes were often less than half full. Deregulation allowed... I don't know about that, man. I've been traveling by air since 1970, and I've been on plenty of full planes. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, but you're always flying at night and everything.
What do you mean I was always flying at night?
You said every time you go back to L.A.
I was in Orlando. I started my radio career in Orlando. There was no nonstop between Orlando and Los Angeles when I came back to visit. So I always was flying through Atlanta. I always took that little hop up to Atlanta and then bang, all the way over. Now, why was I... You're right, bud. I was always arriving at night. I'm trying to think why.
Well, I mean, you're losing time.
No, you're not losing... Going from... No, you don't lose time. You gain time.
Oh.
I don't know, man. And here it is. Here's the battle hymn of the Republic, and I'm battling losing brain cells. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Northgraf, and our associate producer is Chris Johnson, with help from Rick Johnson tonight. And, of course, Fred. Fred Scott, he's been with us this evening. Fred is our godfather of rock and roll. The world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com, at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhenry. And, of course, Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHenry. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. And don't forget to visit the website for the podcast and tonight's KFI videocast.
Phil Hendry.